My dad's quite patient because my mom is sick. Yeah, she's on dialysis, and it's a really difficult thing for us at the moment because her health is up and down. But you know, Isaiah really loves being around people.
So how's your how's mom? Is she doing okay?
She turned 70 in July. But at the moment, she's having some issues. High blood pressure, or you know, calcium levels, and all this sort of thing. So I regularly get phone calls from the hospital whenever she's doing blood tests, mostly every week. So yeah, it's another thing. I feel like I have a lot of experiences in a lot of different areas.
So yeah, you're amazing. Yeah. How can you manage your time? I'm still trying to figure out how can I manage my time.
It's quite difficult, but because I've got a supportive husband, I've got a supportive parents at home. Yeah, I'm just doing it.
Approximately 1 in every 59 children are born with autism. Albert Einstein.
Dr. Einstein had no speech until age 3. Steve Jobs. He was a loner. He brought snakes to school.
Leonardo da Vinci. This man was far advanced on the autism spectrum.
I'm not naughty. I'm autistic. And I just get too much information.
You're listening to Takiwa Tanga, Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism One Strength at a Time.
Hi everyone, my name is Yen Tesoro. I live here in Lower Hutt. I've got 3 kids. And the youngest one is Isaiah. Isaiah is 7, and he's been diagnosed with autism. He was diagnosed, I think, when he was about 2 or 3. It's been a long journey. Just like any other family, when a child has been diagnosed with autism, all of emotions and feelings mixed feelings and emotions in one place, which could be overwhelming for anyone really.
So when did you found out? I mean, what's the cue that you feel like something's not right?
Isaiah didn't have eye contact. He was not talking at all. So he was nonverbal. He's not listening. That's what I thought, that he was not listening. I used to call his name, but he wouldn't listen. He would pull me, you know, just pull my hand to go where he wants me to go, or give me a glass, an empty glass, just to say that, you know.
He's not gonna speak about like, mommy, can you help me?
No. And until now, he's like that. He's 7 now.
And how is it? Where are you from? The Philippines.
I came from Calapan City in Oriental Mindoro. My mom is from Cagayan Valley, and my dad is from Pantabangan Nueva Ecija. So they met in Calapan, in Oriental.
I thought they met somewhere in the meet me halfway. So before going to details of autism, tell us about your journey going to New Zealand. What made you decide that you want to migrate from Calapan?
After I graduated, because I'm a social worker, I graduated with BS Social Work from the University of the Philippines in Diliman. I worked in foundation. It's called World Vision.
World Vision.
In Quezon City, and then I went to NIA, which is National Irrigation Administration, in their training space capacity. And then I finally went to DSWD, being a social worker and stuff. So I worked there for about a year and a bit before I came here in 2006. Yeah, it was just me. It was like, you know, I just want an international social work experience, and I didn't know anyone here. Luckily, one of my friends from DSWD knew someone who lives in Auckland, and then I just went flatting with them.
Yeah. And as a tourist or a work visa?
Work to resident.
Work to resident.
Yeah. Oh.
And then with your husband?
No. We were together in the Philippines as boyfriend, girlfriend. And then I went here. After a year, he was going to do his master's degree in Germany. So he came here for like 50 days. And then he went to Germany to do his master's. That was in 2007. But then we got married here. And on our first year anniversary, I traveled to Germany. And yeah, that's our first year wedding anniversary. We traveled a bit. And when I came back to New Zealand, I was pregnant with our firstborn. Yeah, so I was here for that long. I think it was like a few weeks before I gave birth when he decided to come here, even without finishing his degree during that time. But he completed it with the University of Canterbury in Christchurch.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Christchurch, and you're in Auckland.
Yeah. So it's kind of always a long distance.
And then you met halfway in Wellington.
No. So we lived in Auckland for like 4 years.
All right.
And then he received a job offer in the South Island, in the West Coast, as a geologist in Stockton Mine.
Right.
And then we lived there for 7 years and had our 3 kids there.
Yeah. So I know I asked you about your youngest, right?
Yeah, Isaiah.
Youngest son, about the autism and his journey. So when you found out that he has autism.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the right term, because some parents doesn't like the word "he has autism" and some preferred autistic. But anyway, regardless of the how we want to call that. When you found out that he has autism, could you correct me, you went to the GP, right?
Yeah. And then we asked the GP to refer us to a pediatrician.
Pediatrician, and then it's in DHB.
Yes.
Hutt Valley DHB then.
Yes.
Right? And then after that, tell us more about the journey when you went to the DHB. How long did you wait for that at that time?
Months. We waited for months, and we kept on pushing for you know, the appointment. I think he was diagnosed at CDS. But he's been diagnosed with autism.
Is it autism? Because for my son, he's diagnosed with classic autism. I don't know the different how to differentiate, like.
Because before they have ADHD, Asperger's, and all that stuff.
Now it's just autism. Autism. Okay. And then during that time when you found out that your son has autism, how did you feel?
Oh, like what I said, mixed emotions. It's like we have this dream of your son being, you know, somebody. Because we've got 2 daughters already, and they're both neurotypical. We just didn't expect that Isaiah is going to be a child with autism. So,
And how did the father feel?
Yeah, both of us felt it was actually him who pushed for it, because he was the one who said that, you know, something is not right. But then it was me who's like I'm mostly the optimistic
person
type, and I was thinking, you know, he's gonna change. It's just a phase, you know. He's gonna come right.
Yeah, I remember when I was speaking to Justine. You know, Justine Cajes. She's the host of Culture Connection.
Okay.
I've spoken to her about it, and I was telling her somewhat the same story, like you had. Like, my wife is like so calm, and I was so worried, like, how can I support, or how am I going to support my child, and given that I don't know anything about autism, and it's a struggle, and we're not even going through the path or we're not even asking for the support from the government yet. We're still just on the acceptance phase,
yes. Right?
So it's still a long way. Same kind of thing, like, okay, my wife is so calm and I am not. What's the secret behind that?
I was just maybe hoping, you know, that, you know, he's just it's normal, you know, like he's our first boy, like he's our only boy.
Yeah.
Well, only boy. We had two girls.
Right.
And so I don't really know how to explain it. But it's my husband who's really pushing for it, and he's very worried about you know, his future, about our future. What are we gonna do? There's a lot of unknowns and a lot of worries. You know, what are we gonna do? What should we expect? What are the supports that we should be getting to help him?
You mentioned about support. So how did you navigate support in terms of, like, I don't want to compare one family to another, but when it comes to seeking for support, I'm actually more keen on why don't we have any standard support? I mean, my journey is different from your journey. You have Wellington.
Early intervention.
My other friend is going through CAMHS. I'm with the DHB, and there's no straight path. So how do you feel about that?
I just feel lucky that we found out about the Wellington Early Intervention Trust, and they work with children below 5 years old. So from about the time that the child has been diagnosed up to applying for ORS funding until they go to school. So they I feel like they are really supportive in terms of wrapping us, you know, like a wraparound service for Isaiah. So there's this, they have occupational therapies, they have music therapies, they have speech language therapies, and they have an early intervention teacher who goes to kindy to support Isaiah like a certain time, like certain day of the week. And then even when Isaiah has to go to the big school, to the
primary
school, that early intervention teacher went with Isaiah, went with a kindy as well, so that Isaiah will feel, you know, in his transition to the big school, will feel supported.
Right now he is with a teacher aide, right?
Yes, there's a teacher aide at school. He's also working with the RTLB.
Right, from Ministry of Education.
From the school. From Ministry of Education. He's also got a speech language therapist provided by the Ministry of Education.
How often does the support come in?
There's an IEP. IEP goal.
What's IEP?
Individual education
plan.
That they would set up at the first term. It should be every term. They review it every term, and there's some goals in there, some tasks, and then it's gonna be reviewed again. So there's a number of professionals sitting in that meeting, the teacher, the principal, the RTLB, the ministry, the parents, and any other professionals involved. So that's how we are doing it at the moment.
How is he doing at home? How is he playing with his brother or his
sisters?
He's
doing really well, I think. So Isaiah was nonverbal for such a long time. It was when he was 5, when he started to speak. I can remember it was during the pandemic when we were on the lockdown period. I think me and my husband being at home and his sisters being at home, and I've also got my mom and dad. So there's seven of us at home, that he started to, like, you know, it really helped for him to start talking, and it was such a huge thing for all of us. We celebrated for, you know,
it's part of it,
and he started saying the colors, all his numbers, all that. You show him a photo and he knows what it is. So and during that time he just started to say a lot of things all in like a short period of time. So it's like we waited for this long, and then when it started, he really started, we're just really amazed with his progress. He's singing the video machine, you know, he's singing all these songs, and he would know all the lyrics, he would type. So that's how we usually communicate, is we let him type, or we ask him to write, although his preference is typing on a device.
Does he write? I mean, like, can he write?
He can, but it's like a dagger. And he knows all his alphabet. That's actually his, I think, superpowers. the alphabet and the numbers. He's quite hyperlexic. So hyperlexia.
What does that mean?
It's like an overwhelming obsession with numbers and letters and words, and we are using that to help him more.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get into. Like, for my child, it's somewhat the same. How do you use that? I'm curious now, how do you use that letters and words so that you can communicate with him?
Yeah. So we've got, he's been provided with a talker, but we also have an iPad at home, and books.
Do you read? Like, do you read the books in with him, like on a regular basis?
I try, but he really prefers the iPad and watching, you know, videos on YouTube over and over again. But what we find is that because he's really interested into the letters and words, the video machine,
because
it's got all the lyrics, it's full of words, and so he would really be interested in it and really happy, you know, just seeing all the letters, even when we go out and he would see like anything written on the walls, he would read it, and he actually is really good at reading and spelling. Although he's got a speech impediment, he cannot say the word, the sound of letter N.
Right.
So he's instead of the sound of N, he would say the sound of B or M. For example, he wants noodles, right? He would say, "I want boodles, boodles," you know. Or when he's knocking on the door, instead of saying knock knock, he would say bak bak.
Okay, but at least so, you know that.
Yeah, that we know, but other people wouldn't know. You know.
But still a good step. I mean, as long as he can start talking to parents like a typical child who can express what they want. Then.
Yeah, and we also attend a private speech language therapist who's teaching us how to use scripts. So he's got a script like "I want,"
right?
Or we've got like a number of scripts that he uses,
like pattern, or it has patterns, something.
Yeah.
In that private therapy, that's part of the funded.
No, it's private.
Coming out of your own pocket. Yeah.
It's $130 per 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Wow. And we were looking at private therapists as well, and every single person that I found out, we find is like long waiting list.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, long waiting list, but we went through the process. We just put his name on the list
and waited for it.
And after a few months, we got a call So, and it's also about following up. Mm. You haven't heard for a month, for example. So, you just email them, you know, how far away are we?
So, when you applied for him, how long is it? How, what's his number?
Waiting
like
list? Maybe 6 to 8 weeks during that time. Mm. Yeah. I'm not sure at the moment.
Like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Before pandemic. That's before the lockdown.
No, after.
After the lockdowns, okay.
Yeah. We had another speech language therapist in the past when he was just after he got the diagnosis and we felt so frustrated because he's not talking, so we stopped it. Yeah,
they have different rates, right? Like one for you, 130 per for 30 minutes.
So about $80 for the other one before.
Who decided that for the 30 minutes, should it be like 1 hour or just?
It's usually 30 minutes. Even the music therapy is 30 minutes.
Maybe they don't want to stress the child.
Yeah,
because of the
and they would usually give you the skills, like they advise you what to say. You've got an assignment, you know, that you need to follow for the next 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
And then they would be asking you, you know, what have you done? So it's like practice. Although it's really difficult with us having a business and having full-time work. Yeah,
wow.
So it's just a matter of
time
making time, making time.
Mm. Wow, and then for that's 30 minutes per week?
Per fortnight.
Okay, yeah. And you can see the progress, right?
And I think one thing that really helps us as well in terms of our emotional and mental health as a family is that we found 3 other Filipino families with a child with autism. And then we have regular meetups once a week.
So, maybe we can join you.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus you're most welcome to come and join us one time. Yeah.
Yeah. All Filipino, right?
Yeah. All Filipinos.
And, okay. So at least it's not going to be a little challenging in explaining to other Filipinos. Like, I've been speaking English since office. Nosebleed.
Yeah. And we help each other find resources in the community in New Zealand. Like, we tell them, you know, you want your child to have swimming lessons, we have this national swimming fund that we can apply for, you know, because we started for Isaiah to go swimming lessons. It's about $328 a term, which is quite, you know, expensive. So we just research and ask others, and they said, oh, there's actually this fund that you can apply for. And I got all the forms, so I just send it to my friends, and they and we do that. So
what is this Dahat?
No, it's like nationwide. So I can give you that form if you want. Yeah. any pool. This is the second term that I've enrolled him and we have been paying, but
subsidies
so it's their deadline is the end of September.
Is it helping? I mean for your son, the swimming, I mean like
he loves the water. He you know, even if it's like play, but there's a one-on-one teacher,
right?
Who shows him all this. They got everything that that can help him learn.
They know that he has special needs.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a special swimming lesson just for him, and they are very experienced.
Ooh.
In. Yeah, they know what they're doing, and because we're just on the sidelines, because the 3 kids are doing swimming lessons at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So we can see him enjoying the waters, being so confident in the water, even if, like, for example, I think this term, the goal is for him to learn how to put his head under the water. So it's like the whole term, that's the goal.
Yeah.
So I think last. On Friday when we had the lessons, he put his head up to here.
Wow.
So that's progress.
Yeah, of course. And it, small steps, baby steps, right? You don't have to like make him go under, like, okay. Wow. So I like that. I feel like at home we have this bathtub and we fill it with water, and he wants to like stay in the bathtub and just stay there and calmly, and then he doesn't want to go out.
Wow. That's really good, because his other autistic children have like sensory issues, right? Mm. They have a lot of sensory issues, and some of them, they don't really like the feel of being in the water, like makes them uncomfortable. But just like my son and your son, like they welcome the sensation of being in the water. So that's a really good sign.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, all these children, they have quirks, you know, they have all their special things that they want, that they like, quite obsessed, you know, with things. And you just have to find what that is that they would really, really like. One of our friends, he loves the Legos, for example. So he's building and building, and you can see all these things that he's, you know, presenting. It's really amazing.
So how is he with your other friends? You have a group, right?
Yeah.
And how is he with other autistic child within the?
He's fine. Like, they're all fine playing side by side.
Yeah.
They don't really interact.
Yeah, it's all parallel. Let's go play.
Yeah.
But I'm.
They have their own thing. Yeah. They have their own interests, so yeah. They don't really mind other kids being with them. But it's just the same at school, you know.
Is he annoyed with noise and?
He's doing all this, like he's overwhelmed. Okay. We're actually looking for a good noise canceling device at the moment. So yeah, we are asking our friends if they know of anything like that. But we don't want the device to be like totally canceling all the noise. We want him to still hear the conversations. We just don't want him to be overwhelmed. Mm. I mean, the school has a device for him at
for
school.
Him. Oh,
so okay. whenever we go and pick him up, he's wearing one of those. So the Ministry of Education provided him with one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's this respite, right? The life.
I think Life Unlimited?
Yeah, I think that's Life Unlimited. So we just took the funds from there, then bought him the earmuffs.
So you
couldn't find someone before who can look after, because you can use that so that you can have some relaxation.
Respite.
Okay.
So that's a care support.
Yeah, you also have that, right?
Yeah, we've got 60 days.
60 days, yeah. Okay. I think that's standard.
No. It used to be like 13 or 14, and then it just increased and increased according to your needs. So you need to let them know if you need more. When you get to the yearly assessment, they can tell you, okay, let's give you some more. Yeah.
Okay. So they will be reassessing. I'll tell my wife that.
Yeah. And they now have this form that you can write in it and tell, you know, just because you know your son more than anyone else, so you can write in there what he's like, what does he like or what he doesn't like, you know, like and introduce him to the assessor basically, and tell them what are you doing with him, what activities does he like.
How is he with the some friends?
I think at the school all his social needs are met, because his classmates love him. I don't really know if he knows them. If he knows the names of his friends, but then we can see that the kids really love to hug him or touch him, hold his hands. I haven't really heard any problems in terms of his classmates. A really good feeling when your child
starts to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how's the ORS application process for you?
So Wellington Early Intervention Trust helped us to do that. So yeah, they're really supportive, and they're the ones who said that, you know, we can help. I think that if they think that you won't get it,
they will say it.
They will tell you. that, you know, you're not gonna get it. Let's not bother applying. Although some parents would be quite disappointed or frustrated that, you know, but maybe because they really see that actually compared to the other children who might need help, your child is fine. Like, he wouldn't need help. Although some schools, they provide teacher aid, even if it's not funded by the ministry.
They're using, I think, emergency funding.
Yeah.
Based on what I heard from someone, and so on.
Yeah.
But they are, yeah. They
yeah,
are,
but luckily my son got approved. It's quite a high funding as well. When they submitted the application, he was really nonverbal. So my son is actually not yet toilet trained.
Same with him. So how do you deal with that? I mean, is he still in nappies?
Yeah, we are using the cloth nappies. Well, that's my business. Because we're into reusables.
Yeah.
So we don't really ask the government to give us the funding for the nappies anymore. But you can, you know.
You had that monthly nappy box. You used to have that?
No, we never asked for that. And it was offered to us, but we declined it. We said we're using cloth, you know. We are really conscious with our environment, you know, the impact.
Yeah. I'm gonna talk to you about that later. Any strategies that your support is recommending so that he can be toilet trained?
The pediatrician is referring us to Explore. Have you heard of Explore?
No, there are a lot of things that we haven't heard that we're uncovering, like one.
Yeah, so Explore is like they're specialists and they have occupational therapists who can help. But for us, we have been referred and we are gonna welcome that support to get the strategies. But we have decided because he turned 7 this August, that this coming summertime we're gonna really push him to do it. We started doing it before we started and stopped. Because he just was not ready. He was very he just didn't want it. And it's like, you know, to avoid frustration and conflict, because we're basically wanting to focus on the successes that he's having at the time, that we don't want to like, you know, stop his progress on this area just because of this.
All right.
So we supported him on this this areas, like the talking, the swimming, you know, and because he's doing horseback riding as well at the moment.
We're waiting this on that
is RDA in Upper Hutt.
Yeah.
So he's doing that this term. We just don't want to overwhelm him the things that are happening.
What are his goals that you have set with his support team?
Some of the activities that he's doing at the moment, so it's actually one of the goals already in there's some reports that they told us that, you know, he's started to do it, but maybe not consistently. It was the lights in the changing room, I think, that was the, because he's quite sensitive to the lights.
To lights
in there.
Yeah.
So they learned that maybe if they put another type of light in there while changing him, it would be so much better. Because I think he was not happy and he's crying and screaming because of that light. So
So is it an LED light or?
I'm not sure. Maybe like this. Like this light, quite bright.
Yeah. So have you changed your lights at home?
No, but our lights at home are not really bright.
Okay.
So maybe that's helped.
Right. Yeah. All right. So for the horse,
riding for the disabled.
Yeah. I keep on telling. I interviewed the person, the manager of that riding for the disabled, because I'm curious about the horse.
Yeah.
Every time I spoke about the riding for the disabled with some of the parents that I met, mm-hmm. I kept on telling them that I read this book, The Horse Boy. Have you heard about that? There's this autistic child. His name is Rowan, and his condition has helped him improve by riding his horse. They have a horse at home.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Maybe we can just go there in the riding for the disabled first. Let's not buy a horse first. But yeah, I think it's a good. So you're just starting for.
Yeah, just this term. This it's term. Been seven times, I think, because it's about seven weeks, right? In this term.
Okay. And how is it? Do you find it helpful, or do you find it him improving his condition?
They have been giving, like, sending us some photos. Mm. When he comes home from school, I would be asking him, you know, did you see the horse today? Yes or no? And he would say yes.
And at least you're getting response from.
Yes, he knows how to say yes or no. But that's one of the lessons that we had before when we were attending ESDM. Have you heard of ESDM?
Right. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's like for the whole term. The goal is for him to learn how to say yes or no.
Yeah.
So that is really helpful. Mm. And then I would ask him, so what's the color of the horse? And he would tell me the color of the horse. So yeah.
Is it your parents who are here, or your husband's parents?
My parents.
Your parents. Going back to the diagnosis, when you got the diagnosis, usually Filipino culture, we don't have any autism at that time growing up.
Yeah.
We were growing up in the Philippines. We don't know anything about autism at that time. And especially for parents, he will learn about it. How is it for your parents?
I think that it really helped my son to be around more people in the home, especially my dad. He's really patient in terms of talking to Isaiah, teaching him maths, teaching him how to sing on the video. Okay, when I'm, you know, because I work full time, so it's him who's always at home, and Isaiah would just go to him and let him, you know, be with him, and they both would watch something on TV together. Or because my dad's quite patient, because my mom is sick. She's on dialysis, and it's a really difficult thing for us at the moment, because her health is up and down. But you know, Isaiah really loves being around people.
So how's mom? Is she doing okay?
She turned 70 in July. But at the moment she's having some issues. High blood pressure, you know, calcium levels and all this sort of thing. So I regularly get phone calls from the hospital whenever she's doing blood tests, mostly every week. So yeah, it's another thing. I feel like I have a lot of experiences in a lot of different areas.
Amazing. How can you manage your time? I'm still trying to figure out how can I manage my time.
It's quite difficult, but because I've got a supportive husband, I've got a supportive parents at home. I'm just doing it.
When did they arrive here? Did they arrive with you at that time?
No. So they came when I am as a resident, when Isaiah was born. When I applied, I think that was in 2009, for my mom and my dad and my brother to come to New Zealand as resident, so it's been granted.
Well, lucky you. That's during the global financial crisis.
I think they were the last ones, and then they
cut it.
Yeah, they changed it.
You're still lucky.
Very lucky.
Yeah. Wow. Have you? Did you go home or go back home to the Philippines just for a visit? Have you paid visit to the Philippines?
The last time we went home was in 2018.
How's Isaiah when you went?
I think I was more focused on my second daughter who's got multiple allergies.
Right.
So I've got a lot of issues, eh? But yeah, I thought it was fine.
He survived.
I think, yeah,
going
he
home,
did.
Going
he did.
Home, especially Philippines is very noisy.
Yeah. I think they, my children got sick and they had, we spent like a week or something in the hospital. But that's, I've been expecting that because that's all that always happens. The change of weather, the change in everything, you know, water, and they would have gastroenteritis.
Same thing, we went home in Philippines and we cannot go there yet. Why? My tummy is hurting.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, very difficult. And the weather is really hot, you know, especially if it's around April.
Right.
Yeah, so I need to make a mental note of that, not to go home in April.
He's okay. I feel like he's okay traveling.
Yeah, he was fine. As long as there's phone or some toys
that he can play.
During that time, I think I was still breastfeeding him.
Okay.
So I think that helped.
He has no diagnosis at that time.
I think it coincided with that time.
Okay.
I think he was maybe not because he was born in 2015 and that was in 2018. So maybe he hasn't been diagnosed yet.
And you don't know anything about it yet. It's
Or maybe we are waiting for the
diagnosis.
We are waiting for the appointment, maybe. But we had suspicions.
Is he in medication now, right?
No, he's not in medication. We've been given some melatonin for sleeping before, but he never took it, and he's sleeping with us, so he's fine with in terms of sleeping.
Have you tried moving him to a different
Yeah.
Is he okay?
No. So that's gonna be another challenge, you know.
That's,
next, because he really needs to move. He's 7 now and he's quite big. So we need to do that.
I remember the time when my son used to wake up
in the middle of the night,
like 12 a.m. 1 a.m. And then when he wakes up, he couldn't go back to sleep, and so because he's awake, he's gonna wake
up everyone
and we were carrying him like for hours and hours.
Very
and
difficult.
Then my wife, we will switch places with I will switch places with my wife, and then I will do the other carrying, and then when it's around 5-6 a.m. That's the time that he's gonna fall asleep, and then it's my wake up time. So now I need to concentrate for work.
Very difficult. That's one of the challenges, because some of these children, they don't really sleep well. I think we're just a bit lucky that Isaiah's sleeping fine. There's a few times that he's quite unsettled. That was when he had general anesthesia for when his teeth were, for his dental work. So he had the dental work pulled maybe 4 or 5 and then put some metal, I can to avoid further decay.
Any recommendations or suggestions or advice you can give to parents who are
starting
their journey, or maybe who are in their journey, who are confused as I am, or just any general advice that you can give them?
Just don't be afraid to ask for support or help, and if you think that the support is not getting to you soon enough, just push for it, really, and talk to other people who might have the same experiences as you do, and find out more. There's a lot of Facebook pages or Facebook support groups, and they would be able to give you information. Just having a child on the spectrum, I think it's a blessing. It's really a blessing, because you know they are such amazing children. And they're gifts to us.
Gifts, and they you learn a lot from them, and you become more patient. That's what I've learned. Like, oh, I'm this patient now. Before, like, Filipino Filipino culture used to, sometimes if you're irritated, sometimes subconsciously you tend to shout, like, especially when your kids are noisy.
Usually it's the parents, and how do you deal with your own stresses and your own behaviors.
So how do you cope up with, if you're overloaded, like today?
I think I'm a naturally calm
person.
I don't get rattled very easily, and I think it's also because of the nature of my work.
Because you're used to working with
with children and their family, and it's mostly problematic. So I wouldn't be able to last my job if you know, I'm easily rattled, or if I don't have the patience. So
maraming salamat sa time, appreciate it. Isa pa ulit.
Thank you.
Every Tangata fight Takiwatanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter, it's one step closer to your success. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Memuto te fakawa haere. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia maya, kia kaha, be brave and be strong.
Hello, kita mo lagi. Kumusta kayo?
Yeah.
First, even Taglish or English, something. So please introduce yourself.
Okay. Activities does he like?
Right. And yeah. How is he with the going back to the school? Napapatagalo ko. Going back to the school. How is it? Any other, before tayo magpunta dun sa business mo? Mm-hmm. So baka palabasin ako dito. Oy, tapos ka na.